You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Mekhi Becton, ladies and gentlemen, human beings that large should not run as fast as Mekhi Becton did. And if you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you.
Wilson going to the air. Chased out by Daquan Jones. Wilson looking end zone, wide open, touchdown! First NFL touchdown for Zach Wilson. And it goes to Corey Davis.
Down the middle, he's got it. Elijah Moore. The 20, the 10, the 5, touchdown.
Jones has just caught flat-footed. What an excellent, excellent route.
Hill hit immediately when he got the handoff.
You know who that is?
The Q-inator.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the PlayLikeAJet.com digital studio, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it is time to talk about the new fan favorite here with the New York Jets. Fourth-round pick out of Texas A&M, Michael Clemens. And so to do that, we bring back our old friend who came on the show a couple of years ago to talk about Braden Mann. He is the person you want to talk to when it has something to do with Texas A&M football. And so I'm glad I had another excuse to chat with him, Mr. Travis Brown of the Eagle. Travis, thanks so much for coming back on the show, man. It's been way too long.
Yeah, anytime. Glad to be back.
So let's talk about Michael Clemens here. And I know this is going to be hard for people to believe, but when Michael Clemens was in high school, he was 6 foot, 160 pounds, and he played running back. You covered him at Texas A&M the entire time he was there. Can you ever imagine Michael Clemens being that size?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a story that came out early that all had us, you know, kind of shaking our heads because he is just a massive, massive man and just absolutely ripped. And I know a lot of that came about before he actually got to A&M when he was at Cisco Junior College and kind of developing, learning how to get the work done in the weight room and get the work done off the field. But yeah, it's pretty crazy to see where he was and where he has come to so far in his career.
Travis, I want to talk about Cisco Junior College in a second because he wound up there for a very specific reason. It's because he played running back for the first 3 years of his high school career, and then he was moved to defense. He was going to play linebacker, but then he tore his groin and couldn't play. So he couldn't play his entire senior year, which meant that he couldn't put himself on display for the possibility of getting a Division I scholarship. The only place that he could go was to junior college. This had to be an incredible blow to his psyche at the time, and I'm sure he's talked about it many times since.
I talked to some of his coaches out there at Cisco Junior College, and you know, because of the way he was able to kind of develop himself. And I believe it was because of the glasses that he wore. He got the nickname Cyclops out there just because of the kind of monster of a guy that he turned out to be. So, yeah, I mean, I think that if you want to look at what Michael Clemens was able to become, even more so in off the field, in his physical development, in his routine, in his ability to train and recover and rehab more on a professional level. I think that can all be pointed back to his days at Cisco Junior College and what he was able to do there.
And at Cisco Junior College, he made his mark really quickly. Went to high school at Garland, Texas, so he was a local kid. Goes over to Cisco Junior College and just tears everything apart. Had 1 year there, 30 tackles, 8.5 tackles for a loss, 2.5 sacks in only 6 games. So at that point, he becomes one of the hottest junior college recruits in the country. Everybody's going after him. Kevin Sumlin, who was the head coach at Texas A&M at the time, was hot on his trail and ended up landing him. What do you remember about that process? Sumlin was in on him early, but was the fact that he's from Texas a major draw for him to stay in the state and go to Texas A&M?
Yeah, sure. I think that there was a little bit of buzz around bringing him in. It was a little bit of something because a little bit towards the end of the Kevin Sumlin era, and especially as Jimbo Fisher's moved in, Texas A&M has not been a school that's been really, that really is heavily relied on JUCO transfers. There's just been a few here there because they really have had more of an emphasis on recruiting high school players. So he's a guy that they had their eye on. I know a little bit coming out of high school, but once he was able to get his name on that JUCO top 100 and be the number 17 JUCO recruit out of that class, it just solidified things. He was a guy that they expected to come in and make a, not an instant impact, but be an instant contributor right off the bat.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Travis, I want to talk a little bit more about his days at Cisco Junior College before we get to what he did at Texas A&M, because you said you spoke to a lot of people around there. And we're talking about a guy who, as we said, was a 6-foot, 160-pound running back, was going to transition to the defensive side of the ball, got hurt before he could do it. And then he goes to Cisco Junior College, and all of a sudden, he looks like the Incredible Hulk. 6'5", 275 pounds, and as you said, one of the most physically imposing people you'll ever be around. Tell me a little bit about his Cisco days, what you found out talking to people around there, and that transformation from that small running back, and 6'160" is not tiny, but for a football player, it's not exactly huge, to what we now see, the man known as Cyclops. And if you can, also please elaborate a little bit more. I know you said it was because of the glasses, but that nickname fascinates me.
Yeah, I know a lot of it goes going back to just that ability to learn how to work out in the weight room and learn to just be that guy. When they saw him, even though he was a running back, that it was the head coach of Cisco at the time, Deontay Dean, and his quote was, "We just saw this big, long body, and we were like, this kid could turn into a defensive end." So he put him in the stance, and he was god awful. He could barely get out of the stance, and so it was just spending a lot of time learning the intricacies of putting his hand in the dirt learning that position. And it was a lot of hard work, they said, but he was actually able to do. And the other thing too is he kind of has talked about a little bit coming from a little bit of meager means. And so getting to Cisco Junior College, there's a lot of guys there who were frustrated, didn't like the environment, didn't like the cafeteria food. And Michael would tell his coaches, sometimes he didn't know where his next meal was coming. So, or if he knew if he had a place to sleep. So getting into that stability of even junior college was big for him. And then Dean also said that once he got there, he lived in the weight room and he lived in the film room, and he would constantly ask questions, was really eager to learn and work at eager to learn and work at that craft and learning a new position.
And when he got to Texas A&M, it was going to be a bumpy ride. His first year, though, he actually was pretty good for the amount of playing time he got. We didn't know what was going to happen his second year. But here's something that I want to get into before we talk about his first year in Texas A&M. He redshirted a year at junior college, and then he ended up redshirting again at Texas A&M, which we'll get to in a bit. I think when people talk about him being an older prospect, about to turn 25, he'll be 25 before the season starts, that's a big part of the reason why. He did redshirt that one year at junior college and had a medical redshirt, which we'll talk about, plus also the COVID year. He got that extra year of eligibility. So that's a big part of the reason why he's an older prospect right now at 25 years old, is that he had several stops and starts here. This next start at Texas A&M, he had a pretty good first year, but there was going to be another stop, another bump in the road. But at each place that he was, there was that pause, and I think that played into his journey as a whole.
Yeah, and there was some times where he was a little bit injury prone, and some of a little bit of maybe some of those red shirts, some of that. The first red shirt was certainly about learning a new position, but some of it too was a little bit recovering from injury and developing as he had some injury problems pop up here and there. So some of that can be tied in with that as well.
Travis's first year there, he actually played pretty well. What do you remember about him as a rotational defensive end his first year there with Texas A&M?
Yeah, I mean, he made some impact. He had three tackles for loss and a sack, and he played in all 13 games. Only registered 19 tackles, but he kind of built as the season went on. His season high was against LSU later in the season. Season high in tackles was 6, and he was kind of a guy that built as he went on. The A&M has had a pretty deep lineup at a defensive end going all the way back to the Miles Garrett days, which I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Miles Garrett, the year he went number one overall was that 2017 year when Clemens, that was his first season at A&M. And so he was well down in the depth chart, but it says something with some of those guys that were ahead of him, Miles Garrett, I believe Deshaun Hall, if I'm not mistaken, at defensive end, that he was still able to contribute and make some impact at times in the rotation with some of those bigger names.
In 2017, like you said, he started out, and that was the year that Miles Garrett went number one overall in the NFL draft. And Clemens made his mark as a rotational piece, as you said. But then in 2018, he suffers an injury during camp and ends up with a medical redshirt. So again, another stop, and we're going to have another one coming up in a bit. What were the thoughts surrounding Michael Clemens after he has that injury? Was there disappointment? Were there things expected of him that year? Was he going to play a bigger role in the defense considering that Miles Garrett had just left?
I think there was always some idea of this guy that was so kind of highly touted out of JUCO kind of be able to step up and make his mark. I think that, like I said, with A&M, they've always been pretty darn deep at defensive end, and they've always used a rotation. So it's not necessarily like you could say, at least from an A&M perspective, that him going down injured was left this huge gaping hole, because they did have other guys that were able to fill in at the time. But I think that there was always that thought in the back of people's mind of, hey, they have this guy, they have this massive talent, a guy that just looks the part. When is he going to be able to get in, get some starts, make that heavier load impact that they were saying? So, yeah, I mean, I think that there was a setback in some people's minds there a little bit, but I think that A&M had the depth there that he wasn't a huge missing piece. He had to kind of actually fight his way back into the picture later in his career, which he was able to do.
Travis, Clemens came back in 2019 and, as you said, fought his way back into the picture. Once again, a rotational piece, had a couple of tackles for a loss, a half a sack. So he wasn't fully all the way back. Was there a sense at the time that maybe he was still sort of recovering from that injury and he wasn't yet 100% fully?
You know, I mean, I think it was just kind of getting back into that game form, getting back into game. You know, he was, like you said, he was a much more sparsely used rotational guy his sophomore year, the first year he redshirted. And so this is his first real go at a consistent playing time, going against the top guys that he saw on the other side. And so it was a little matter of the game slowing down for him. But he was able to make his mark in getting back to the quarterback. He was fourth in the team in quarterback hurries, was able to start making that progression and making his mark at A&M.
And where he really began to make his mark was that Vanderbilt game in 2020. Had a big game. And then that season, he got off to a really good start, looked very promising. But then he had another injury, and after five games, his season was over. Now, it was the COVID season, so he was able to apply for an extra year and come back. But that had to be very disappointing because it looked like he was on the verge of breaking out, and then, boom, there he is getting hurt again.
Yeah, like I said, just that up and down career of his, trying to make sure he could get off the training table and stay consistent. And the good news about that was, and the reason why I think he – I think that was one of the reasons why he went from top 100 JUCO guy, number 17 JUCO recruit, to a guy that there might have been some questions where or when or if he would be drafted. I think that the biggest thing, and I know you're probably going to get to this here, was the consistency that he was able to put forth during that final COVID super senior season when he was able to come back, put together majority of playing in 10 games, 9 starts, played in the majority of the games, and really kind of not only separated himself on the field and showed some good film and statistics, but really became kind of the captain, won the Defensive Leadership Award for the team, and was one of the year-long captains on the team, kind of learned some of those intangibles too.
This is something that was said by Jimbo Fisher. Michael's had a great camp. He's been one of our leaders. He's really done a great job, played hard, had the big sack in that Vanderbilt game last year, was in on another one, made big plays. Guy's done a really, really good job and is really understanding the importance of being a senior leader. So along the lines of what you said, he was an older player, but he was starting to understand his role as a leader. In fact, Jaden Peavy, fellow defensive lineman, said, "Me and Mike came in together. He always has a smile on his face. He's always pushing me to go harder. That's one guy that's a big leader on the team. I was very excited for him to see him step into this role and really rev us all up." And then here's what Clemens said, reflecting on his past performances at Texas A&M. "In the bowl game in 2019, I did pretty well. Leading into the quarantine, I really started to focus on the mental aspect of the game instead of the physical aspect of the game." So he was starting to understand that there was the mental side, there was the physical side. And because he was an older prospect, he could take on that leadership role. Jimbo Fisher started to really count on him. The other players on the defensive line started to look to him. And this would set the stage for that big 2021 season.
Yeah, you know, and I think that there, when you looked at some key moments throughout the game, the games that A&M was able to win last year, there was his fingerprints were on it. You know, 3 tackles and a sack against Alabama in that big surprise win that they had. And I think that the if you really want to go back, and it's kind of a shame that it didn't turn out as poetic as you would have liked, but when the season was wrapping up and A&M was going to play at LSU, that's the game, that was his highlight game of his career, because that's where he got the 3.5 5 sacks against LSU, and A&M at the end of the game needed a big stop to try to score, to retake the lead late in that game. And I believe, if I wasn't mistaken, he got 2 sacks on that final drive, one that was on the big third down play that was going to give A&M a chance. And everyone, you know, on the sidelines, everyone in the press box was kind of saying, like, man, this is a guy, he's been up and down. He's been a roller coaster through his career, where because of injuries and because of the expectations. And this is going to be that nice send off, that nice exclamation point on a career that crescendoed there towards the end. Of course, A&M couldn't pull it. The offense couldn't go down and score at the end. They couldn't pull it out. But it kind of left that, at least a little bit of that exclamation point on the end of a career that everyone who had been following A&M, all the A&M fans, had kind of hoped, like I said, would crescendo to a nice ending. And for the most part, minus the win, man, that was a good exclamation point on the end of that career.
Like you said, a big finish for Michael Clemens, had an excellent campaign in 2021 to put an exclamation point on his career there. 11 tackles for loss, 7 sacks, and as you said, he had 1.5 of them against Alabama. That's always going to be very noticeable. And finished strong in his last game as a collegiate player against LSU with 3.5 sacks. So he peaked at the right time, I guess you could say.
Yeah, definitely. He finally, I think, was able to reap the benefits of a full healthy season and have his body feeling 100%. And I think that's what really showed. And just the development that he's had under, you know, you go back and talk about why maybe Alabama, when you want to go to his recruiting out of Cisco Junior College, Alabama was kind of what had his heart at first. And he was really looking like that might be the place he wanted to go. But Texas A&M defensive ends coach Terry Price came in, and he has been a wizard at doing and developing defensive ends. I mean, for case in point, he had his fingerprints all over Miles Garrett's career and what he's been able to do, and has been one of A&M's top recruiters. And when you get a guy in and he's able to work with a guy like Terry Price, and not to mention eat at some of his defensive line barbecues, because he's a grill master on the grill. But Terry Price is just a guy that knows how to develop defensive ends. And I think that is also a culmination of several years getting to work under Price and really learn the game under one of the premier defensive end coaches in the country.
Travis, it's strange because even though Clemens is about to turn 25, it feels like he may just be scratching the surface, just a late bloomer, and that his best football may very well be ahead of him.
Yeah, and I think, like I said, a lot of that has to do with just being healthy. If he's kind of learned and been able to get his rehab, get his recovery a little bit better as he's gone through his years, and he can stay healthy, I think that he will really benefit from being at closer to 100% for longer periods of time, where he can get that work in, can continue to develop. And I think that there's a lot of upside on there as long as he can stay healthy.
Travis, I know you said you didn't spend that much time with him, but you did talk a little bit to him, and you did talk in some pressers and stuff like that, and you talked to his coaches, both at A&M and at Cisco Junior College. So you got a sense of what he's like as a person. Tell me a little bit more about that, and then do you think he would be a good fit here in New York? Would the bright lights and the big city intimidate him at all? Certainly so far it doesn't seem to. People are already taking to him and seems to have that intense but fun-loving personality, a strange needle to thread, but he seems to do it well. And we know he had the off-the-field stuff. They are trying to build a locker room that has great character. Do you think the off-the-field stuff is going to detract from that too much, or will he be a really good fit in that locker room where they're really trying to build a locker room filled with guys that are of the utmost character?
Yeah, you know, I think that of a lot of the players that come out of Texas A&M or I've covered over the years, I think that he might actually be one of the ones that might be a better fit in New York. If you want to compare that to the fact that A&M's athletic communications department is good about getting his players, but also is good to the players in the sense that if a player's requested by a media member or they feel like maybe he's a guy that should talk after a game, they usually go to those guys and say, hey, do you want to talk? And Clemens did his duty in times when he needed to, but he kind of did know more. He's not necessarily a guy that, you know, constantly was putting himself in front of the cameras, constantly putting himself in the spotlight, trying to, you know, constantly. He was a guy that just liked to show up and, like his coaches at Cisco said, spend time in the weight room, spend time in the film room, get better at football. And so I don't see him as a guy that is going to go buck wild on the everything that New York has to offer in the limelight, the spotlight. I think that he is a guy that is really focused in on his football and focused in on making himself better. And if you want to talk about an environment that puts a lot of pressure on guys, I think that he does what he can to mitigate that pressure by trying to stay out of the spotlight and use that time to focus in on his football.
Travis Brown covering Texas A&M football for the Eagle. Thanks so much for coming on and talking about Michael Clemens with me. Really appreciate it. For those that want to check out Travis on Twitter, it's @Travis_L_Brown. Read his work over in The Eagle. Check out everything we're doing at PlayLikeAJet.com and the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel. The Thunder from Down Under, Luke Grant, has got some great All-22 reviews, including one of Michael Clemens. So watch the videos and subscribe if you haven't already. Visit our store, teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. We've got the John Franklin Myers, Quentin Williams, Bless You, Thank You shirt, the Zach Says Go Long shirt, the Zach the Ripper shirt, the Play Like a Jet logo shirt, caps, mugs, hoodies. It's all there, teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. And be sure to give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.